This is Rhode Island Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Chuck Hinman in Providence. As part of our Rhodey Votes 2016 coverage, we're looking at various aspects of this election. This morning, it's ballot question number two concerning the Rhode Island Ethics Commission. And here to help us sort this out is Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay.
Good morning, Chuck.
Scott, question two on the ballot will be asking voters whether to restore the State Ethics Commission's jurisdiction over General Assembly members. Is that correct?
That is.
So what exactly is this ballot question, and why is it on the ballot this November?
Well, it's on the ballot for several reasons. First of all, let's take a quick look at the history of the Ethics Commission. It was started in 1986 when voters approved a constitutional amendment saying that lawmakers and all other elected officials in Rhode Island and some top appointed officials ought to be subject to ethics rules. Particularly, the focus at that point was trying to prevent conflicts of interest. In other words, having legislators or mayors or other elected folks using their offices to feather their own nests, as it were.
Which has happened in the past in
Rhode
Island.
Yes, it certainly has.
So we had that constitutional amendment. What happened to change that?
Well, what happened was the Supreme Court threw out in 2009 a crucial provision. What it said was, essentially, citing the speech and debate clause, was that legislators up on Smith Hill, they can't be prosecuted for things they do in their official capacity, their votes at the State House, for instance. And this was in the case of former State Senator Billy Irons of East Providence. He was the Senate president at the time, and he got jammed up. He was an insurance broker, and he got jammed up in a deal with CVS, the large pharmaceutical chain.
So that removed the legislators and their actions on the floor of the General Assembly from oversight by the State Ethics Commission?
Yes, lawmakers were taken out, and a lot of people thought it was unfair because the ethics provision still applied to mayors, town council members, and other people around the state, but it did not apply to the Rhode Island House or Senate.
Based on what the Supreme Court said in 2009. Now, this particular question, question number two, that requires another constitutional amendment?
Yes, it does, because that's the only way you can really correct or change a Supreme Court decision. And what this would do simply is reinstate the provisions, essentially, that were tossed out by the Supreme Court back in 2009 in the Irons case.
Okay, so who is for this? Who's against it?
This has been a long battle at the State House. Every year since 2009, the people leading the charge for this have been basically Common Cause of Rhode Island and its executive director, John Marion. This has been one of their top priorities almost every legislative session, and they were never able to get it past both chambers, the House and the Senate, in one year until 2016, and that's why it's on the ballot.
So why the change? Why now?
Well, the State House wags, and some of the skeptics are saying we are calling this informally the Ray Gallison measure. Gallison now, he was the head of the very powerful House Finance Committee. Everyone knows, I think, by now that he was basically chased from office. There's a law enforcement probe on him and his use of money from legislative grants. And I think that what happened here is that Marion and Common Cause people were very smart. They have this kind of slogan that goes back to Phil West, who was the group leader for many, many years at Common Cause. And he said, you know, you don't want to waste a good scandal. And so right after Gallison was chased out of the State House for this, sure enough, this measure came up. And the House leader, Speaker Mattiello, the House folks brought this up. And they have been supportive of doing this for years. But it was the Senate where Irons came from, Teresa Piva-Weed, Senate President, and her group, that didn't want to do it. But this year, in the wake of the Gallison downfall, a lot of us felt, you know, they have to do something. So this was their response. Both the House and the Senate came together and decided to pass this and put it on the ballot for this year. As you know, in Rhode Island, these kinds of constitutional changes or amendments can only come in a general election year. You can't have a special election. So that's why it's scheduled for November.
Who is against it? Why do we have people who don't want it reinstated?
The American Civil Liberties Union Rhode Island chapter is against it. They believe that it would make the Ethics Commission too powerful, makes them essentially prosecutor, judge, and jury over the actions of legislators. And they say there's still a fear that you could go after some lawmakers because of their actual role in the legislature doing the job they were elected to do. And there's a little bit of a circuit breaker in there. What it is you can't prosecute a case 90 days and in before an election. So this is trying to keep the Ethics Commission out of electoral politics as we know it.
And that blackout period, that would stay in the law if it's reinstated.
That's correct. You would have that blackout period.
So what do you think are the prospects for passage?
I think it'll probably pass for several reasons. First of all, Common Cause has polled it at better than 70%. Now, the critics say, yes, they say this is window dressing, that it's a feel-good thing. People are upset with what they see as state house chicanery, and this is kind of the answer to it. This is all they can really do except for throwing out incumbents, and we've seen that in some legislative elections this fall, the DeSimone race in Providence, the Malik race out in Warren. So it seems like the voters are upset at the same old crowd that's at the state house, but incumbents mostly win. The Republican Party's weak. We don't have a strong two-party system in this state. So I think the voters would like to put this extra check and balance, as they see it, on lawmakers.
All right. Well, thanks, Scott McKay, for explaining that for us, and we'll keep an eye and see what happens in November.
Great to be here, Chuck.